Mark, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing well. How long have you been in the state now?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm actually calling from Ohio today. This is my first week back home for a week here. And but before that, I was in town for almost 9 weeks straight.
All right. And I know that when we talked on Friday, you told me there was some good news in regards to the cleanup. Before we get to that, tell me, under your estimates, how much oil actually spilled into the river?
You know, there's an investigation going on, and we have some guesses, but unfortunately, we're still at the guessing phase. I anticipate that the number is going to be slightly higher than what was initially reported, which was just over 800,000 gallons, but I don't know how much. We're allowing the investigative process to take its course. It's going to take some time. There's three parts to it. EPA has an independent investigation going on. The National Transportation Safety Board has an independent investigation on, and Enbridge is also doing their own investigation. So until all that's done, and the NTSB, or National Transportation Safety Board, will take the longest. So that's, we'll wait for all those things to come together, and then we'll be able to give you something more accurate.
Well, after almost 85 days of cleanup, you believe, the EPA believes, that there is a significant progress to report about the cleanup of the Enbridge oil spill.
Yeah, it's very encouraging, and I'm not going to say it's perfect, but it's very encouraging that the news we have to report this week. That is two big things. Number one, all the primary work, cleanup work on the river and the creek, the Kalamazoo River and Talmadge Creek, has been completed. And when I say primary work, I mean all the free oil that was lying in the floodplains, stuck to the stream bank, floating in the water, is gone. Now what we're dealing with is the stuff that we can't see, and that's submerged oil, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But the other key piece of good news is that the Talmadge Creek Restoration Project is now completed. That was about a two-mile stretch of creek that was heavily impacted. The floodplain in that area is probably the worst hit of all the floodplain in the entire response zone that we cleaned up. And the floodplain cleanup is now complete. So that means that all the contaminated soil has been removed. The areas have been backfilled and then covered with protective matting and revegetated with native grass species. So we should see some amazing improvement over there as vegetation starts to grow in over the next month, and then especially into the spring. So so a big piece of this cleanup is now behind us, and it'll just be maintenance from here on out.
So you say the biggest cleanup is going to come to what we cannot see, and that was the question at the top of my list, the oil that is on the bottom of the river. How do we clean that up?
Well, there's two techniques we're using right now, and there's been substantial progress made there as well. The two techniques are, one, we dredge. We actually bring heavy, I call them underwater vacuum cleaners, for lack of a better term. It looks just like a massive vacuum where there's a cutter head blade and a suction device that literally pulls sediment 6 inches at a time off the bottom of the river. And we're doing this activity over in an area called the Suresco Dam area, for those who are familiar with the response zone. There's a large footprint, about a 5-acre footprint, that's requiring dredging because the contamination is pretty heavy in that area with oil. There are about 20 other areas on the river that require some type of sediment treatment as well. And what we're doing there is something a little more unique. We're actually blowing air into the sediments and forcing the oil back to the surface. And in these other areas, and what that does is allows us to capture the oil on the river surface. And this is important because it's a technique where we don't have to bring huge machinery into some very sensitive wildlife habitats and destroy the habitats in an effort to clean up the oil. And so far, we're having great success cleaning up the submerged oil. By the end of the month, probably before the end of the month, we'll have this phase of the cleanup wrapped up as well. And then the last stage of this is a long-term stage, and that goes in two parts as well. The first is an operation and maintenance phase where all the areas that we did not achieve complete contamination removal, again, because we don't want to destroy sensitive habitats to do the cleanup, we will monitor over the long term. Could take a year, could take a couple years. until all that oil breaks down. And again, it's residual contamination. It's not heavy, free-floating oil like I described earlier.
Mark, go ahead. Continue. Oh. I'm sorry.
That's right. And then the second phase is the state, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources and Environment, will be doing establishing a long-term sampling, monitoring, and possibly remediation process out there in the event that more cleanup work needs to be done.
We're talking with Mark Durno, who is the Chief Response Officer for the Environmental Protection Agency. We're talking about the cleanup efforts for the Enbridge oil spill at the Kalamazoo River. It's 7:41. You're listening to the Tony Connelly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. From what I understand, Mark, there's still more than 1,000 people out there trying to complete the cleanup.
That's correct. I believe the count was 1,096 yesterday, but that's about half of what we had at the peak of this response. So, if the numbers are any indication of progress, we've cut our response staff in half. EPA staff is about cut in half right now, as is all the cleanup contractor staff that Enbridge hired to do this work. So, we're about halfway, but you know, halfway is still over 1,000 people, so it's still a substantial effort.
Go ahead. Continue. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say one of the things that we're doing is a massive decontamination effort of all that those miles of containment boom that were placed in the water. We still have over 100,000 feet of boom in the water, but at our peak we were over 175,000 feet, which is about 33 miles of boom. So you can imagine it's going to take a long time just to clean that up. We do in 100-foot sections, and so it takes a while.
From what I understand, on Thursday, you had a meeting where state and local corporate representatives gave a progress report, but there were still some folks that were complaining that their kids were getting sick, having some respiratory issues. What do you know about that?
Well, our advice to anybody who's experiencing any medical issues is to see their doctor, first and foremost. The second part of this, which is important, is to make sure that the residents understand the air quality that they were exposed to during the peak of this response, which was in terms of air releases, which was the very first week. So we've done a lot of independent meetings with a lot of the groups that have had concerns, and shared the data with them, shared our viewpoints from our toxicologists from the county health department, the state health department, and also from a federal health agency called the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry. The levels in the air at the time were significant enough to offer a voluntary evacuation, but the levels of contaminants in the air were not high enough to require an evacuation. So it was really if residents in certain areas were uncomfortable with the air that they're breathing, if they were having any types of physical reactions to the odors, then they could they were eligible for relocation. But again, that was an individually specific thing, depending on again their reaction to the odors.
And from what I understand, U.S. Fish and Wildlife representatives say that most reptiles and birds that they had cared for survived and have since been released back into their natural habitats, and that the Kalamazoo River could be opened for recreation sometime next year, but the long-term restoration may not be reached for another 5 years or so.
Well, when we say 5 years, we mean that's that sampling and monitoring program that the state's going to undertake. There's an outside chance that there may be some areas open for recreational use as soon as next summer. We won't know that until we see how the winter and spring affects these discrete areas that still have some residual contamination, how much containment we need to have. But you mentioned wildlife. Another substantial statistic is that we've cared for over 2,600 animals through the Wildlife Center. And some of those animals will remain in that center over the winter because it's getting too cold now to allow them to go out. The shock would probably kill them. So we need to wait till the waters warm up a little bit. So there'll be a long-term care and monitoring program over the winter.
Mark, how much longer do you anticipate that you and the EPA will be involved?
EPA is going to is in for the long haul. We're going to have people on site for the remainder of the fall, winter, and in the spring. So we'll continue our work, and the state will take an increasingly lead role out here. The EPA will remain involved until the job's done. And how long that takes is questionable, but certainly for the next several months, we'll be in town We'll begin rotating personnel. For example, in my role, I'm going to start rotating with a coworker so I can get on to other business. But we're not going away.
All right, Mark. Well, we've appreciated your reports. We've had you on the program several times. Thanks so much.